It's done.
Connor McDavid! It's not real!
The goal of the year?
Panarin!
Part of the past. The celebrations? Forgotten. The history?
Vegas Golden Knights!
History. We're back to a blank slate. Clean ice. All that matters now is what happens next. The Stanley Cup Playoffs.
Eastern Conference Final begins Wednesday.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Hello, everyone. This is Raise Your Voice as part of the Fans First Sports Network. I'm your host, Brett Rutherford, joined as always by my good friend and co-host, Darby Robinson. We are live on YouTube, on the Raise Your Voice YouTube channel, and we are live on X on the D-Raise Bay account. If you're watching on YouTube, make sure to like and subscribe. Turn on those notifications so you know when we go live. If you also want to listen as a podcast, even if you don't want to listen as a podcast, go ahead and subscribe wherever you get your podcast. That will help us continue to grow this show. And if you really want to say thank you, head on over to patreon.com/raiseyourvoice and become a Patreon member. We've got three different tiers starting at just $1 a month. So let's get into it. Darby, we have got a ton of news. We are like halfway through spring training, or maybe over half by now. We're only a few weeks away from Rays opening day, but even less time before the MLB season kicks off in South Korea when the Dodgers and Padres will square off. And we're finally getting some news. We're finally getting some injury news. The Rays, I think, have mostly been like on the more fortunate side compared to other teams, but there have been now a significant injury that will impact the Rays opening day roster. And that is Johnny DeLuca, who was hit by a pitch in the Dominican Republic where the Rays played the Red Sox. And we'll talk about that in just a second. But Darby, reactions to Johnny DeLuca being out 4 to 6 weeks is what Mark Topkin says is the usual timeline for a broken hand.
Oh, it sucks. It really sucks because he's one of the two pieces that the Rays got back for Tyler Glasnow. And I think a lot of Rays fans were pretty excited about Johnny DeLuca. Tons of speed, tons of defense, and kind of that perfect, younger Manuel Margot type player, right? That guy that can slot in as a backup center fielder to Jose Siri, a guy that can mash left-handed pitching. He had a 60% pull rate, so we were excited to see if he could be the outfield Isak Paredes. It's a bummer. Broken hand, which, the timeline itself for getting back on the field is one thing, but then getting that timing back, that's what spring training is all about, right? It's getting those reps in. It's getting that timing back. It's getting back into game shape. Looking at it from scratch again. And so when he gets back healthy enough to swing a bat, he's still going to need some time to probably get some reps. So this could be, like a 2 month plus thing where we won't see him until the summer, basically. So definitely unfortunate, unfortunate for him as well, because this was like a great opportunity. The crowded Dodgers system getting to go to the Rays, pretty much a lock for a opening day roster spot. Had a big role, like kind of slated. So it's more of a bummer, if anything, to the player of Johnny DeLuca, because I was really excited to see what he could do. And this was a really cool opportunity for him in his career. And I think he's still going to be a important piece of this team this year and play a big impact. But that's just going to have to be delayed right now.
Yeah, I was obviously Pepio was like the bigger piece to come back in the Glasnow trade, but DeLuca was one where his role was, like you said, locked on, was going to come in and be that fourth outfielder, be the direct understudy to Jose Siri in center field, and had a lot of interesting tools that I think being a member of the Rays, it was going to help showcase those tools and develop those tools. And now with him being out, we're going to have an interesting discussion. I think, like, on one hand, I think, okay, maybe this makes the opening day roster easier, but I think it really kind of throws a wrench into things. You can go a lot of different directions for this roster spot. You could try to make the team more left-handed with a guy like Richie Palacios. You could try to add another right-handed bat like Curtis Mead. Obviously, the signing of Ahmed Rosario, and it was mentioned that he would also be playing in some corner outfield spots. Maybe you don't need an extra outfielder as much anymore, but what do you do if Jose Siri goes down now and you need a center fielder? Obviously, you could bring someone else up from AAA, but I don't think the Rays are really comfortable with Randy Arozarena or Josh Lowe in center field. They keep listing Harold Ramirez as an outfielder, but he is barely even a corner outfielder, let alone a center fielder. So let's just get right into that discussion. Who do you think replaces DeLuca on the opening day roster now?
I think right now, my instinct is that Richie Palacios is making this team now. I think the Rays were already high on Richie Palacios. I think they really like his bat. I think they like that extreme plate discipline. He's added power to that exit velocity after going to driveline in the offseason. He's already had a couple of very loud home runs this spring, like some absolute smoked balls. So I think there was already excitement about Palacios role on this team kind of going forward. They traded a key bullpen piece and Andrew Kittredge for him. Right now, though, I do think his defense is not great. It's not bad, though. And I think that gives you another person that, with his speed, you can have him as a center fielder if you don't want Josh Lowe to be in center field. I don't think Rosario, who's pretty limited defensively anyway, I think you're already kind of stretching it at corner outfield. I don't think you're going to see him in center field. You're definitely not going to see Harold Ramirez in center field. I think right now it's probably Josh Lowe or Richie Palacios as your center fielder when Jose Siri needs that. And I think Jose Siri is just going to be playing a lot. He was already going to be playing a lot, let's be honest, but I think that becomes a bigger piece of the puzzle. It is interesting you mentioned with Rosario, if Harold Ramirez doesn't get traded, you do have Ahmed Rosario and you do kind of need a role for him. And that could be the outfield there. I just think with Palacios, this is an opportunity to get you a backup outfielder, backup infielder in second base. Not sure if he ever will play there, just because if you have Rosario, you might as well just play him if Brandon Lau needs a day off. And it gives you a left-handed bat into the lineup. So I think this is a free way to add a lefty for right now while DeLuca gets back healthy. The biggest loss is I just don't think there's anybody that close that could replicate DeLuca or previously role Manuel Margot's defense. But in the meantime, Palacios is good enough defensively that his bat will hopefully be able to kind of carry. He's only played 61 innings in center field, very minimal, almost impossibly small sample. He has played a bit more, about 200 innings last year and 156 innings the year before that in the outfield. Again, average numbers, like not super negative, not super positive, just kind of average, which if his bat's really good, then you take that. You take a defensive hit, but you hopefully make up for it with the bat, and the Rays are very right-handed heavy. So that's my instinct is Richie Palacios. Do you have a gut instinct what this does to the roster?
I was trying to make the case for Curtis Mead, but I don't see it either. I think the fact that you are so right-handed if you go with Mead, like you were already very right-handed, and now not only do you need the more lefties on the team, you really need the center field like understudy, because without that true fourth outfielder, you've got Josh Lowe that can fill in for Jose Siri, and then your backup corner outfielders are Harold Ramirez and Ahmed Rosario, and like a Rosarena and Josh Lowe already aren't great defensive corner outfielders. And you're running
really weak.
Yeah. And so DeLuca, that was why he was going to be so valuable, not only for some pinch running and starting against lefties, but also some late game defensive substitutions as well. And so to start the year, unless there's another move, which I've said it multiple times this offseason, and they go out and they make another one, I think they're pretty much done. I don't think they're bringing in Blake Snell. And if they do, that doesn't solve the center field issue. Although maybe Blake would be willing to try it out if the money's right. But no, I think Palacios does make like just too much sense here. It's not going to be Greg Jones.
Is that Scott Boras's pitch? Is that going to be Scott Boras's pitch though? Is like, yeah. You know, Jordan Montgomery, you know, he you need an outfielder. Jordan Montgomery will play center field for you. You got it. Get out there. Did you see that play in the postseason on that infield? He knows what he can do on a small pop-up. You got it.
Yeah. So, I mean, Palacios, like, again, for what the roster needs right now, there's not many other great outfield options that are going to be considered, right? You're looking at the guys that are in camp right now, you know, Greg Jones, Cameron Misner, Ruben Cardenas, Nico Holsizer, like none of those guys are going to make the team on opening day. Now, like, when we talked to on the podcast a few years ago, when we talked to Eric Neander, and like one of the big questions, like a couple, it wasn't just one question, it was multiple questions, was about the opening day roster, because we as fans, like, and media members, like, we obsess over who are going to be the 26 names on that roster, where like people in the front office don't care as much, because they just see it as a much more fluid situation. The guys that start the season on your opening day roster is certainly not who's going to end the season on the roster. And so I'm not even looking that far ahead to, like, I think it's Toronto, right? We open the season with Toronto.
Yes.
Who they've got, maybe it works out to where, okay, we actually do want Curtis Meade. And then after that first series, we're going to option him down and bring up Palacios. Like, maybe that is the way it works out. There's more off days. So maybe you're like, all right, we've got Josh Lowe to move to center in a pinch. And then if there is a real injury, we can just call someone else up. So I think that would be the argument for Curtis Meade. If the discussion we're having is who is going to be playing on opening day and who's going to have their name called at Tropicana Field on opening day, maybe that's the case for Curtis Meade. I don't see that being like a long-term answer while DeLuca is still out. But, you know, he's not going to be out super long-term. Like, maybe it is 2 months, and then we're looking at May 11th, and he's already back on the team. So maybe the Rays are okay because they really want to see Curtis Meade. But I do think they want his at-bats to come in AAA. We're looking at, like, an infield for Durham where it's going to be, you know, Caminero at third, Basabe at short, Meade at second. I think Carson Williams will start in Montgomery. And then I don't know who do you have at first? Austin Shenton, probably.
Shenton, yeah.
Or Evan Edwards. You know, pick someone to go to first.
Yeah, somebody goes to DH after, but yeah, I think the they're pretty high on Shenton.
Yeah, so Curtis Meade, like, is going to obviously play every day at AAA. Maybe that's the better path for him. But yeah, it does make just too much sense for Richie Palacios. And while we're on the discussion of roster, we've already pretty much covered the position player side.
That's basically until, like, again, Harold Ramirez. This is every episode is the all with Harold Ramirez still on the roster. If Harold gets traded, that we'll do a reaction pod, because that will change the math. That does suddenly give a roster spot to, like, Curtis Meade potentially. That does open up, like, these avenues that we've been talking about. So it really is, like, at current configuration, I agree with you that, like, as much as I think the Rays are not low on Curtis Meade at all, I just think it's a tough spot. You're just overflowing with talent.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, let's get into the rest of the roster then. That's what we wanted to talk about this show. We'll just do it right here in the meat of the episode. So we kind of fleshed out the position player side, but let's just run through it. Catcher, I guess this one is still kind of up for grabs. Rene Pinto is locked in.
Backup, yeah.
And then number two, who do you got?
I think Mejia will actually end up. It's tricky. I'm curious about opt outs with like Mejia's. It's a minor league deal, but like if there was like a, you know, if he's not, doesn't make the opening day roster, does he get to like try somewhere else? I think Mejia ends up getting the backup spot again. Left-handed is an option there. Gives you another look, and he's also been around the team a lot. That I think for a little bit that might be a solid guy. What about you?
I'd like to see Mejia. I think there's something there still. I as a backup catcher, like again, a roster spot that it doesn't mean much at all. However, the fact that he's been there, you know, he's been around the team for the last few seasons, I think that means something to me. And Alex Jackson, I'm just not sold on him as a player, but the Rays seem to be a lot higher on him than I am. And so I'll trust them on this. I think it will be Alex Jackson. I don't know if Mejia, you know, if he'll opt out there, whatever was agreed to in his contract to look for a big league opportunity elsewhere, but I don't think he's going to get one. So maybe he just sticks with the organization he knows, goes to Durham, and, you know, is right there for an opportunity if one arises throughout the season.
I wouldn't mind if that's the, this is one of those ones where I'm like, I don't think I have a strong opinion, and I'm with you. I kind of trust the Rays. I would love to see that would be nice. But we'll see.
Yeah. And then let's just go through the infielders and outfielders. So we've got Yandy Diaz, Brandon Lau, Isak Paredes, Jonathan Aranda, and Ahmed Rosario. So that would kind of round out our outfielders. We've both agreed on Palacios, or that would round out our infielders. We've both agreed on Palacios getting that last spot in the outfield, joining Randy Rosarena, Josh Lowe, Jose Siri. And then the big question mark, and I guess this will be like, you, from what you've been saying, are pretty convinced that Harold Ramirez will not still be here come opening day.
I'm sticking with it. I will say this. I want to hedge this so that I can claim to be correct no matter what happens. Like a damn coward that I am. I think I want to say this right now before people say it. They're not interested in like saving the money from Harold Ramirez. Like this is like what he's making, what, 2 million, 2.5, something like that. It's 4 million. What's it? It's in that range. It's nothing. This is nothing. This is they're cheap. We get it. Blah, blah, blah. That's not what they're not going to move him just to save that money. I think they are really in a tough decision, right? Where they are saying, Curtis Meade's runway, like there is not, he can only smash AAA pitching every single year for so long before you got to just like see what he can do. And if they think his ceiling is higher, they will move Harold Ramirez. But I don't think they're going to just try to dump Harold for nothing. And if there is no offers out there that are even close to what works, I do think they like Harold Ramirez's clubhouse presence. He has a player who is good. Like, again, like this is, I really don't want to say like I've been calling for Harold's head just because like I don't think he's a good player. I just think I'm curious to see the next phase. And I think we have seen the best year of Harold Ramirez. But I also can see the Rays totally keeping him because injuries happen. You still have Curtis Meade. You don't have to move him. You basically get to have, like you mentioned, your opening day roster be set, and then who knows what this roster looks like on May 1st, on June 1st, on July 1st, or hopefully on October 1st.
Yeah, I'm in full agreement, and the pitching side is maybe where it gets a little bit tricky. I'm going to read off the roster. Here's how we'll do this. I'll read off Roster Resource, and we can talk about where we disagree, if we disagree at all. So the rotation they have as Zach Eflin, Aaron Civale, Zach Littell, Ryan Pepiot, and Taj Bradley. And then the bullpen, they have Pete Fairbanks, Jason Adam, Colin Poche, Phil Maton, Sean Armstrong, Garrett Clevenger, Chris Devensky, and Tyler Alexander. So the 40-man names that would be left off of that are Shane Baz, Jacob Lopez, and Yoniel Kiray. And then the non-roster invitees that have also left off of that are Naoki Iwasawa, Mason Montgomery, Nathan Wiles, Brendan McKay, and Logan Workman. Also, Kevin Kelly, Colby White, and Manuel Rodriguez would be the other, and a bunch of other like true relievers that I don't think are going to be in line for an opening day spot. So let's start with the rotation. Eflin, Savali, Littell, Pepiot, 100% locked in. Where do you go with Taj Bradley?
I think he starts the year in the rotation, in the opening day rotation. I think they believe he is, you know, your Shane McClanahan 2.0. And I think last year they overexposed him because due to necessity. But I think they are very happy now that like he got through the lumps of the full year. And I think they are very happy to have him be the fifth starter to start the season. I think this is the big question I have is resource protection in this case is if starting Taj Bradley in the rotation is the difference between keeping Naoki Iwasawa or him being able to leave, I think they basically Iwasawa onto the main roster and they have like Tyler Alexander as the fifth starter and Iwasawa as like a bulk guy and Taj Bradley starts in AAA. Because that's again saying this isn't the best opening day roster, this is the most strategic and eventually Taj and Shane Baz will be there probably by like mid-season on and the stretch run. So in terms of, I think right now my instinct is Iwasawa starts in Durham because I think he needs much more time to get comfortable with the pitch clock and the US style. And I think they're going to allow him to have a little bit more run there, but Taj gets the fifth starter nod.
I agree. My question is, I mean, would the Rays really know if sending Iwasawa to AAA like is going to cause him to opt out? Because Iwasawa in his camp would want to keep that a secret, I'd imagine. And we have no idea what the interest is like from other big league teams. Because if the Rays know they can just send Iwasawa to Durham, they kind of lose all leverage, Iwasawa in getting him on a big league team. And I'm sure there are like more escalators in his deal and there's more money involved. I don't know how that works. Like, I don't know how much big league front offices know. I guess that would be a fun question to ask someone who is more in the know. Maybe if we get Eric Neander back on at some point, we could ask him. But exactly. Yeah, I agree with you. Like Bradley, everything that's kind of been written about him in quotes is that the training wheels are not fully off, but like having that first year where he had the ups and downs, but we saw the upside. We saw everything that we were expecting from him as a prospect. We saw that play out in the big leagues. And like rookies suck for the most part, right? Like they're not supposed to, get up to the big leagues quicker than we thought he would because of the injuries that the Rays dealt with last year. He was not supposed to come up and be electric. Look at Blake Snell, 2-time Cy Young Award winner. Look at the struggles he had early on. Shane McClanahan.
Tyler Glasnow.
He had struggles early on. Tyler Glasnow. Like, they're not supposed to be the finished product.
Chris Archer struggled early.
Very few are able to do that. And so Bradley, because he spent so much time in the big leagues last year, I would hate to see him take a step backwards and then have to find it again. Like, I would rather – he's our fifth starter. And that's the other thing. Your fifth starter does not have to be good for you to be a good baseball team. And to have a fifth starter like Bradley with that upside, maybe he does take that step forward this year. Maybe he is going to be like a frontline pitcher, but when you don't need him to be. So Uesawa, if I don't know, I've been pushing Uesawa for a long time, and I convinced myself that the contract they had offered him was just like a, yeah, you're going to be on the big league team, but this is the contract we're going to give you because of the fact that he turned down multiple other big league offers. Supposedly. But that also makes me pretty confident. That also makes me pretty confident that he'll go to Durham, and he will pitch for the Rays at some point this season.
Well, I think that's the other key, right? Is I think you make a good point of like the Rays probably don't know for sure, but I think the key has to be how they're working with the player and in explaining these things, right? And being like, and I think the Rays are really good at that holistic mental approach, which is going to be maybe a big factor, is to accept the assignment to Durham the best. Who will respond and who will maybe not respond well to that? And that's a tough call, right? So like if they think like this will hurt Taj Bradley to go back down because he'll see it as like a failure, or if Uesawa will say like feel insulted by that, then I think you might have to like work around that. But I do think overall the Rays could potentially explain like the reason we're doing this is strategic. We want you to work on these things, and you are going to play a big role on this team this year. It's just a fluid situation. I think I'm going to be curious to see how that's going to be a very interesting last spot. How that works. But this is definitely an area where I think the Rays are really, really good, because I think this comes down to not just a baseball decision, but also a mental and emotional one as well.
Yeah, I agree. And let's go to the bullpen next. Man, I think this one is pretty locked on. I'll read them off one more time. Fairbanks, so, Adam, Pochet, so Maton. Yeah, it is. Armstrong, Clevinger, Devenski, and Alexander. So your A bullpen, right, of Fairbanks, Adam, Pochet, and I'll throw Maton on that list because of he signed like a major league free agent deal, a pretty good one for a reliever. That's your A bullpen. Like they're all for sure have a roster spot. Right. Fairbanks, MLB The Show 24 released their ranking or ratings, their first set of ratings for the game. I think the game goes live like this week. I have not been paying attention. Because
early release is the 19th.
They didn't pick Randy Arozarena for the cover. Or 15th. Like sorry, I had 15th. Been predicting. So they went with Vlad Jr. I don't know about that one, but Fairbanks, along with Yandy Diaz, were given the highest ratings on the race. I think they got 88s to start the year, which is pretty good. So Fairbanks is like, okay. Also he's like reached closer status. Like he is your closer. I know the Rays don't name closers, but he is your closer.
He worked almost exclusively in the ninth last year.
Yeah.
Like he was used as traditional a closer as you can get, which is interesting for the Rays.
It is. And I think it shows a lot about the relationship that the Rays have with Pete Fairbanks. He is a very outspoken person. And when he signed that extension, that might have been part of it. Listen, I really want to pitch the ninth inning, because when that extension ends, you know, that money, if you're an all-star closer for multiple years, he could make, I mean, some big time cash on his next contract. He could. And as long as, you know, he stays healthy, he's entering, I think this is age 30 or 31 season. So relievers, it's a fickle position, but one that the very best can make a lot of money and pitch for a long time. So that's your A bullpen. And then your B bullpen, like Devenski, you signed to a major league deal. Alexander, you claimed off of waivers. Garrett Clevinger has no option
to like lock that position in. Like that was a very early offseason when there's everything in front of them. They were like, we're getting them. We're adding him. Yeah.
Correct. Then you've got like Armstrong and Clevinger with no options.
And the Rays love those guys.
Yeah.
Right. I think it, like the Clevenger was a guy that they tried to trade for once before in a three team deal. The Dodgers got him and then they were able to trade for him again in a year that they were looking for relievers. And they were like, we want Garrett Clevenger. And he became one of the elite relievers. Lefty wise, also they need another lefty. So I think Clevenger's like super lock. Armstrong, I think they just adore. I think they adore Armstrong.
Yeah. And like Armstrong, maybe another one of those guys where could be a starter one day.
Devinsky is the one that they've said they're going to stretch out as well, which I don't see it. Tyler Alexander has started. Like he started last year with Detroit. And he had some really good starts. Like Tyler Alexander is a guy that I think so that's where I sort of say, like, if Yuasao is on this team, I actually think it's Alexander is the fifth starter, not Yuasao. Now, starter is a very relative term. I think you can put both in. I think it'd be four innings of like 3 to 4 innings as starts, but I think Tyler Alexander, I would be surprised that list. I would be surprised if it's anybody different to start the season, barring injuries, obviously.
Yeah. And
that looks as much as Kevin Kelly did really well last year. Like he was great. And I know they're high on Colby White and Manuel Rodriguez has really got some filthy stuff. But that's all they're all gonna pitch. Like we know how pitching works in the modern Major League Baseball. Like the Rays are gonna have at least 6 to 7 pitchers that aren't on the opening day roster pitch probably before July 1st. So
yeah,
they'll play and they could earn roles. And like we also know how relief works, you know, like Armstrong or Matone or Clevenger, like anybody can be bad. You can just, you know, you can be good, then you can be bad, then you can be good again. Relief is so. But no, I'm locked in with that bullpen myself, and I am very excited about this bullpen. The name brand isn't there, but I think this is one of the best bullpens in the American League.
Interesting. Okay. Yeah, I'm trying to think of like who I would have ahead in the AL.
Houston is ahead for me.
Yeah, Houston definitely.
They're top Cleveland? Three. I love Cleveland. I think they're in there. I think I have like a bunch of teams that I have in a nebulous pot of like just elite bullpens. I would also put even with Brash's potential arm injury, I put Seattle always in there because I think they have like Seattle, Cleveland, Houston, and Tampa all have just amazing eyes for relief pitching.
Baltimore
and things are great. Maybe.
Yeah.
I like what's in their bullpen. I don't know about that. Without Felix Bautista, I think that definitely takes a big hit.
It does, but I've liked what they've done, and they've kept that core group of that bullpen together for a few years now. I still really like their bullpen, so I guess I'm not as high on the Rays bullpen. I still think it's a good bullpen. I don't know, like guys can take steps up, but there could also be guys that like don't work out at all.
Oh, sure,
yeah. Maybe Poche like regresses more. I don't know. Pete Fairbanks is like the only one who I am like sold on. Like this guy is going to be money throughout the season if he stays healthy. I do really like the upside of the guys that aren't going to make the opening day roster, but like we just talked about, Colby White and Manuel Rodriguez, Kevin Kelly. I don't know. Like I feel like he's just happy to be here at this point. Had to stay on the active roster last year because of the Rule 5 draft. Now he can be optioned. He'll pitch, I'm sure, at some point. But I think I'm like, sure. I look at like a bullpen like Texas, where I'm like, ooh, I mean, there's more question marks. You're like, okay, Jose LeClaire, Kirby Yates, are these guys really going to be that good this year? But I do like some of the upside on some other bullpens more. But yeah, I'm still very happy with the Rays bullpen. And now talking through it, like the other news that we didn't really touch on was Junior Caminero, who was reassigned to minor league camp today. Since we started camp, was not really under the impression that he was going to be on the opening day roster. The only reason I thought you would have Caminero on the opening day roster was if he was your starting shortstop. So before they made the moves to acquire not only Jose Caballero, but also Ahmed Rosario, for me, that kind of ended any thought that Caminero is going to be the shortstop. First off, I don't see him as a shortstop long-term, and I don't think the Rays do either. That's why I think he'll be your third baseman in Durham. You've got Basabe or Carson Williams at some point that can play short. I'm sure they'll run him out at shortstop in Durham just to keep those reps because, you know, if the Rays had more injury issues in the big leagues, like you might need him to come up and play short at some point. But, yeah, he was reassigned. I saw some people on social media were kind of questioning that. And it makes sense. First off, he's still incredibly young. Getting that opportunity last year was to kind of get him that they didn't do it in 2020 because of how short of a season it was. But the Rays, like, they know when it gets to postseason, they're going to run out who they think is the best team. It doesn't matter like how much time you've had. So what they try to do is get their best players that are sometimes haven't reached the big leagues yet, those opportunities late in the season so that if you have to play in October, it's not your first game in the big leagues. In 2020, like Wander Franco was with the team, never got to play in the big leagues until 2021. Shane McClanahan, they had to use like right away. We saw like Rene Pinto come up towards the end of last year. And all of a sudden, Rene Pinto is your starting catcher come the postseason. Junior Caminero, the Rays like were completely in the dark about what was going to happen to Wander Franco. They're like, we need to get Caminero up and give him that cup of coffee so that if we have to turn around and say, hey, you're now our starting shortstop, he's been around the big league. So now he's had that cup of coffee. He can go back to Durham, which he didn't play at all in last year, continue to refine those skills. I have no doubt that he is going to dominate that league. He is going to be the best player in that league by far, especially if Jackson Holliday breaks camp with the Orioles. He would be the only one that I think you would consider better than Caminero at this point in AAA. And it makes sense for his development. It makes sense for what the Rays need at the big league level for him to be in Durham to start the year.
No, I think it's fair for people to say it's fair to be like, wow, Caminero is amazing. I thought he would break, you know, like he is, you could say that he is one of the best players on the Rays roster right now.
You could argue that he's the best player, at least the best hitter. You could make that argument that today he would be the best hitter on the team.
I think there's an argument you could make. I think there's a lot of unprovenness to that, but is like superstar him for sure. Now that gets back to the kind of the refrain of the show, I guess, today, which is your opening day roster is not your best 26 players. It is a snapshot in time at that point. It is not necessarily the best. Right now, you do not have a place cleanly for Jose Caminero to play. If tomorrow was the postseason, you maybe consider punting defense a little bit and having Caminero in there, or just saying Caminero's taking Harold's spot and you leave Harold off the roster. You maybe figure that out, but that you don't need to do that right now. There is a long, I think Caminero was playing this year with the Rays. He will probably not even that late into the season get that call up. Ideally not for a while because people are healthy and playing well, but third base, second base, shortstop, there is potential there. Like if Jose Caballero were to go down with injury for a significant chunk of time, I don't know if it's Basabe you want in there all the time. They might just decide to roll the dice with Cam and Arrow. If it's a short period of time, I think they want to see Cam and Arrow play every day. And I think right now with Isak Paredes still on this roster, with Brandon Lau still on this roster, with DH full, with, you know, his shortstop defense being a little questionable, I just think this is a really, it is totally fair to have a extremely young player who skipped AAA start the season before making that official full season call up.
Yeah, no, I think we're on the same page there, and it does make a lot of sense. Before we end the show, let's go over some news or some news we're still waiting on from around the league. The Red Sox, there's been some changes to their outlook on their pitching. They still have not signed neither Jordan Montgomery nor Blake Snell. They have extended Brian Bello, who I think will be their opening day starter. And it looks like Lucas Giolito will miss the 2024 season. That was their big acquisition this winter. He is having an elbow surgery tomorrow. It hasn't been called Tommy John, but neither was Shohei Ohtani surgery that he had. And I wonder if we're moving towards pitchers not revealing or teams revealing what their surgeries are, even though there aren't many elbow surgeries you can have as a pitcher that aren't some variation of like repairing or replacing those ligaments. And so to me, it just sounds like he's going to have Tommy John and be out for the year. And any elbow surgery, like if you're getting elbow surgery in March, it's really hard to come back at any point, unless it's like the loose body, you know, we're just poking around and they're looking for those damn loose bodies.
Who let him loose?
It looks like Giolito's going to be out for this year, which sucks for him, sucks for the Red Sox. And again, we talked about, hey, Red Sox look good if everybody stays healthy. But the fact that their guy that was going to be the leading of the rotation is out before we've started the season is not good for them. And I think we both kind of had them as last place, although like the range of outcomes for the Red Sox was pretty wide. Like you could see them in a wild card spot, or you could see them having a terrible season. And I think that like the ceiling just came down a little bit more on the Red Sox this year.
Yeah. Not a lot of room to maneuver there for sure. I still think they're going to be a good team, but it's a very tough division and it's a very tough league to be losing a big time pitcher like that.
And the Yankees, worried about who was the richest starting pitcher in baseball before Yamamoto signed with the Dodgers, Gerrit Cole, undergoing an MRI, which is much as like, what was the wording Aaron Boone used? Is he's not bouncing back like he normally would from outings.
Yeah.
That feels like we're like, whenever your managers say like, we're not overly concerned. That's like the time to be like, code red. DEFCON 1, like DEFCON 5, like everyone is concerned.
It's definitely the like we haven't confirmed that he's dead, but it's not looking good right now. Until I pick up this phone and look at the answer, I'll tell you that I don't know for certain. The quote was, he has had difficulty bouncing back between spring training starts.
It feels like this would be like the precursor for Kevin Cash to be like, he's going to miss sometime.
Sometime. Yeah.
Which is the worst. You never want to miss sometime. So again, sucks for Gerrit Cole. Coming off of Cy Young Award, and it sucks for the Yankees because Carlos Rodon has not looked great in spring training. The rest of their rotation, there's a lot of question marks there. Marcus Stroman, Clark Schmidt, Nestor Cortez. How good will they be? at the end of the day, I was talking about this with some friends the other day, like the Yankees, although Aaron Judge also resting for a few days, maybe they're just putting him in bubble wrap if they know they're going to be without Garrett Cole for at least like, part of the season.
Get off the field. You and Stanton, don't you just go lay in the ice bath for the next 2 weeks.
But I do think the Yankees have the two best hitters in the American League in Judge and Soto. And I do think they have the best pitcher in the American League with Garrett Cole. So even if they're without Cole, the Yankees are still going to be like, they're going to hit. Like they have a good lineup. I think they'd still be my pick to win the division if I had to pick today. But I mean, if Cole is out for the whole year, like if we found out Cole is out for significant time, I'll say that. That would change things. But as of now, like I think they'd be my pick to win it.
I'll say this. This is the big key. With modern baseball, you always are going to assume that you're going to see injuries from some key pieces. How well you can bounce back from those key injuries is an important part of this. The Yankees, we've talked about this, that the top line for the Yankees is exceptional, right? Like, if everybody stays healthy, this is the best team in the American League East. But that's a big if that rarely is true. So you lose your top starter, who is the one starter on that entire roster that you can be like locked in, like this guy is going to give you 200 innings and is going to be great. The next best starter you have that I can comfortably say is going to be at least good or have the room to be even better is Marcus Stroman, who you just signed. And like, I don't know, like Marcus Stroman is a good pitcher. I don't know if he's a great pitcher. And you now have the question mark surrounding Nestor Cortez, like needs to be both bouncing back from injury, but also maintaining a level of quality that he's only showed in a small sample, right? Like we have not seen, like Nestor Cortez is not like an 8-year great starter. He's been a journeyman until kind of the Yankees sort of helped, you know, kind of unleash like a next level for him. Carlos Rodon's kind of the same thing, right? Like he was not a great starter for a long time. He had a very brief, really amazing, like top tier here. But before that, he was a guy that had tantalizing stuff that got hurt a lot. Not dissimilar to like Robbie Ray in a lot of ways, where it's like Robbie Ray wins his Cy Young and it's and he kind of changes his trajectory of what you know about him. But you do have to question, like, is Carlos Rodon that 2-year period of like excellence, or is he the guy he's been the rest of his career, which is good stuff, shaky command, prone to blow up and hurt frequently? And so the Yankees rotation, when you have Cole and you have the rest of those guys, you go, okay, Stroman, if he's only really good but not great, that's totally fine for second starter. Rodon bounces back. Cortez bounces back. Clark Schmidt takes a step up. That's like a one too many, like if this guy does this and this guy does this and this guy also does this, we're set. I love that many, especially when I'm looking below in the minors and I'm not seeing a lot of reinforcements there. They are a team that I think if they don't sign Blake Snell or Jordan Montgomery, they are missing a huge, huge opportunity.
But do you not feel the same way about the Rays pitching, or is it different?
Yeah, but I think the thing with the Rays is there's a mixture of young in there that are unproven, where it's like Shane Boz, Taj Bradley, you're basically needing them to take a step up. And then there's a bunch of other guys that you can get so much from. I just don't know if the Yankees are set up to do that same thing. I think it's similar. I think the Yankees have an amazing pitching clinic that they have, and they can churn out some starters. But I also just know their, let's just say this, I don't know if their managerial strategies will be able to allow them to get as creative as they need to be to unlock that pitching. Like the Rays, if they need to go down to just, you know, again, like back to like Chris Archer and a bunch of just wing and a prayer, I feel like Kevin Cash can manage that type of roster, whereas I don't think Aaron Boone can.
Yeah, fair. I mean, I guess
I think Brandon Hyde is the other one. I think the Orioles can also do that too. Like, I think those are two guys. Like, I trust Brandon Hyde and Kevin Cash a little bit more than John Schneider and Aaron Boone when it comes to like winging it, when it comes to pitching. Now, I, you know, offense is a total other thing, but I think that's in terms of pitching. That's where I guess my head is at with that. And it could also just be pure bias, but I think with Baltimore, I'm like, they lose one of their pitchers, Kyle Bradish, who's in a similar wait and see pattern. I'm still like, I don't know. I feel like Baltimore can maybe piece that together a little bit better. I don't know.
What I would argue for the Rays is that you've also got reinforcements coming in Springs and Rasmussen, where like, and Boz, right? Because so Boz is the Rays have pretty much said like they don't expect him to see him in the big leagues until the second half of the season, until probably August. The Rays have more reinforcements that are definitely coming, where like if they can tread water through the first 3 or 4 months of the season, they should be fine when we get to October. Now, like, again, I don't know what to expect out of Springs or Rasmussen. Bringing someone back mid-season in terms of how many innings per game can we expect? What will they build them up to? There's a lot of question marks there. But right now, I'm very confident in the floor of the Rays pitching staff. I don't think they – I don't know. I guess it is not as deep as it has been because of the injuries. And
it's not.
Like, you're missing – we've talked about, like, the only guy that you – had it at the rotation at the beginning of last year that's back this year, healthy, ready to go, is Zach Eflin. And last year we talked about how that was arguably the best rotation in all of baseball. And now four of those guys, you know, two of them, like Glasnow's gone, McClanahan's done for the year, Springs and Rasmussen, we're looking at a post all-star break, probably late summer return. And this year, like, okay, Savale, big league average, like, is probably where he's at. Zach Littell hasn't pitched a full season as a starter. Taj Bradley, still very young, has a lot of – we talked about why we think he could this year take that big step forward. Zach Eflin is the only starter where I'm like, he's going to – if he stays healthy, he will be a good pitcher. He will be an above average, you know, towards the top, like – we'll finish, probably get some down ballot, like Cy Young votes or something, right? That's the type of pitcher he is. After that, I'm not sure. So I think, like, looking at injuries, like if the Rays were to have a major injury to one of the starters that they've got penciled in, like, okay, what does that do? Uesawa, he's got some work to do. He's definitely not the finished product. If you're relying on him or Tyler Alexander for a lot of innings, that's probably not what you can expect. Like, the Yankees at least have like a Nestor Cortez at the back of their rotation who we have seen it from. I don't know. I'm just not like, I'm still very high on the Yankees, and I still think they'll be very good without Gerrit Cole if he does miss time. That's my point here.
I agree with that. I think they still will be very good. I just think that's a
okay. Let me ask you this. I think I know what you're
saying. Like, it doesn't hurt as much to lose. It doesn't hurt as much to lose like Zach Littell, because the level from like you're losing from Gerrit Cole down is a lot, is always going to be a huge step down. So it's like, if the Rays don't have even Tyler Glasnow, if he's there and he gets hurt, that's a bigger loss than not even having him at all. I think that's like mentally where it's at. It's that like right. Oh yeah, okay. Aaron Savali got hurt. Well, like Tyler Alexander, yeah, he could probably get to that level where it's like, I don't know if anybody can get to, because nobody can get to Gerrit Cole level because he's like unbelievable. He's like in a top five elite class. So that's, I think, also the trick that I think sometimes gets you, because you're like, how can you replace this guy? Whereas the Rays always have a parade of people where you're like, yeah, anybody can replace that guy.
But they don't, like, who are your replacements? If a Rays starter goes down before the start of the season, I mean, like, you're right. It's probably like, all right, Uesawa, Alexander, Devensky, you guys piece together these innings. But that doesn't sound like a great plan.
I don't know. I've seen worse. I've seen the Rays do better with worse. And I think that's the thing, right? Is that the Rays are in a spot where it's tricky. I think, like, pencil in, it's tricky. But I think the key is we have seen the Rays be able to workshop, basically build the plane out in the air while it's flying, by basically saying, we're not replacing a pitcher. We're not replacing a starter. We're replacing six innings. And so you lose a couple of those guys, then you're in a lot of trouble. But I think the Rays, you lose one starter, right? Taj Bradley definitely makes the team. And then that fifth starter spot is maybe a piggyback roll of like three innings Tyler Alexander, three innings Sharon Armstrong. And that is also a starter if you kind of Voltron that together. And then you're not like necessarily bringing up Shane Baz right away, but you're bringing up Kevin Kelly to give you another 1-2 inning guy. Mm. I think it's a much harder route. I'll definitely give you that. But I think that's the key, where like, that's why having a multi-time manager of the year in Kevin Cash is huge. I think like there's very few managers that actually move the needle in one way or the other. And Kevin Cash is absolutely one of them. I think he is somebody that, without Kevin Cash here and without that like pitching development, I do think the Rays I'd be much more concerned with this Rays pitching core. But I think that bullpen is really locked in with some really high-end arms coming up that I think you can piece together a loss of an injury way more than it might appear on the surface. But I think if Cole is out for any stretch of time, any big stretch of time, and if Rodon does not bounce back, I think that becomes a much harder route, because I just don't know if Aaron Boone can be able to cover those innings as well with what he has, which is where I think if you were concerned about Gerrit Cole, I think the easiest route is to pencil in a guy who will give you 5-6 innings every 5 days and at the cost of just going over the luxury tax a little bit.
Yeah.
Because I don't think you have a manager that can be able to like say, I don't know, Clay Holmes plus, you know, like Luis Gil for four, like, you know, and Voltron out a start. But then again, if you talk to any team and you're like, we're going to take out your ace and then one other starter should figure it out, I think a lot of teams are struggling. So I think that's also the general rule. Like you go to the Mariners, you take out Luis Castillo and you take out like Bryce Miller. They're one of the best pitching teams. And that already is a struggle, right? That's a tough struggle. Right. They're going to like really rely on that. So I think that's one of those things where like losing any big starter, that's a huge, huge blow. And it's just a matter of where you can make it up. But
yeah.
Judge and Soto will have to carry an extra bigger load if that's the case.
Which, I mean, they're very capable of doing. Like I said, I think they're the two best hitters in the league. So that is going to do it for this week's episode of Raise Your Voice. Once again, if you're watching on YouTube, like, subscribe, turn on those notifications so you know when we go live. Even if you don't like listening to the podcast, maybe you're just a video only person now. I know a lot of people prefer consuming this show that way. Just make sure to head on over to either Apple Podcasts or Spotify and subscribe. Help us get those download numbers up. You guys don't know how much that will help us continue to grow the show. And if you're listening audio only, head on over to YouTube. Do the same thing. Like, subscribe. It will help us a lot. And if you really want to say thank you, head on over to patreon.com/raiseyourvoice. You can join as a member. There are multiple tiers starting at just $1 a month. That will help us continue to grow the show and some of the little tiny costs that go along with it. But we want to continue bringing this great Rays coverage to you guys. So make sure to also head on over to DRaceBay.com. We post links to this show, and there's tons of other great content as we get closer to opening day. Once again, thank you guys for listening, and we'll talk to you next week.